I want you to come with me on another journey here in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about faithfulness. In Galatians 5, it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And we have a couple more to go after this. And so this isn't faith. This is faithfulness. This is not the gift of faith. This isn't the faith that God has given to us. This is the faithfulness of God that is in you that needs to come out in your everyday life. This is different than the gifts. This is the fruit. And last week we had a big tray of fruit up here, and didn't take long for people to just grab hold of that fruit because it was appealing and they liked fruit. The world needs people who bear God's fruit so that they can be attracted to that, so that they can come and find Jesus. As I was walking out on Steveston, just I go for a walk along the community, and there's four young guys there, five actually, with dark black shirts on and scripture on them. And they were handing out tracts. These guys are in their early 20s. And I stopped and I said, hey, this is awesome, you guys. Just standing by one of the coffee shops. I said, hey, this is great. And they were representing Christ in an awesome way. And I says, hey, I'm the pastor of, you know, Richmond Pentecostal Church. And this is what I get often. Well, I go there. they go to Kerala, which is on Saturday nights with Pastor Matthew Koshe. And I just thought, isn't that awesome? The fruit, they were attractive. They were not pushing. They were not rude. They were not driving anything, but they looked like people that were on fire for God. And it was attractive, and I like that. That's the way we should be. We should have the fruit of the Spirit. We should be the happiest people on earth. Well, I know sometimes that you can't be always happy because there's some tragedies in your life, but you should have that joy that we spoke about earlier that carries you through. And this faithfulness we're going to talk about this morning is what helps you to understand that God is faithful in all your circumstances, your whole entire life. So let's look at Galatians 5:22 to 23 in the message. It says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our life, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That's what it is. When the fruit of the Spirit is just oozing out of you, it's not hard to serve the Lord. It's not hard, and it's not hard for people to see that you're serving the Lord. You don't have to speak in King James, thus saith the Lord, hallelujah. Go into a restaurant and order breakfast. I'll have bacon and eggeth, the coffeeth with creameth. You know, that's just wacko, right? That's not the way you talk, so that's not the way you should be. And you don't have to stand up and go, I want everybody to be quiet. I want to pray over my breakfast. Like, come on, I would leave the restaurant if you did that. What you need to do is you need to represent Jesus, because he is inside of you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. So the fruit of the Spirit is the character. And the definition of faithfulness is it implies long-continued and steadfast fidelity. Isn't that interesting? Long-continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by a pledge, duty, or obligation, like a faithful friend. Jesus said, I call you friends. In our world today, if you have a friend, you are rich. We can have a lot of acquaintances, and we can have a lot of people that we connect and interact with, but if you have one friend who loves you, in spite of who you are, who loves you because all of your wrinkles, all your warts, all your bad attitude, and also that person loves you enough to speak into your heart and you love them enough to receive that, you are rich. If you have more than one, you're totally rich. In our world today, not many people have that one. I am doubly blessed because that same person that's my friend is also my spouse. And we'll celebrate, or at least I will, on Tuesday the 30th, 43 years of being together with her. Isn't that awesome? 43 years. That's not why she's away, okay? Because you're thinking, well, why are you so bragging so much about she's not even home? Well, she's looking after our grandkids, as I shared with you. That faithful friend is also in Jesus Christ. And we need to know that Jesus is faithful. He's the forerunner in everything. And so this morning even, I just was reminded about Jesus being faithful to the Father. Think about him. He came and he was raised as a baby. Go figure. Like, he could have come down at any age. He could have come down as anybody. But he came and he went through the whole system of being human. And then one day, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And in Luke 4, this is how it's recorded. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You have to remember that your temptation to become unfaithful is the enemy. He comes, and it was already mentioned, Pastor Stephen, to kill, steal, and destroy. Or maybe it was Pastor Randy. That's his whole purpose. So what he wants to do is take away your faith and your faithfulness. And when you're down, like, remember, Jesus was hungry. He was 40 days fasting. And he went into the wilderness, and the enemy came face to face. The devil came to him. I've not seen the devil face to face. I've seen demons face to face. And actually one said, I said, "What's your name?" And he says, "Satan." And I said, "That must be a small S, Satan, because I'm not a big enough character for big Satan to come after me. So you're just a liar," which demons are liars. The reality is he was face to face with Satan, and he was weak. But he had a relationship with his Father that was faithful, and his Father was faithful to him. And then the devil led him up into the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "I give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to." That's where the battle is. And you know, the Satan told the truth there, because at that time, he did have control. He was a prince of the air, and he had taken over because of the fall in the garden. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet to win that back. "If you worship me, this will all be yours." So he could have bypassed the cross. Now, Jesus knew what the cross meant. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Lord, if there's any possible way, Father, if there's any, please take this cup from me." Because he knew what it would cost to have all that restored to him, to God, to us. And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That is faithfulness. You will have opportunities to give up your faithfulness to God all through your life. Don't do it. Don't let money, don't let property, don't let friendship, don't let lust, don't let any of these areas, authority and power, don't let them take away your faithfulness. Don't let marital discord, don't let the enemy just come and drive you to a place where you're in despair, because God is faithful always. And he lives inside of you. You don't have to draw him in. He's already in. You have to let him out. And the devil wasn't done with him yet. Can you imagine? I'm ready for a pizza by now. I'm ready to get finished with this. I need to get out of there, and maybe we can do the third one later, but I'm tired. Jesus was led to Jerusalem and had him stand by the devils and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he says, throw yourself off from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. So you can just jump and God will look after you. And Jesus said, it is said, my dad said this. You can do that. You can use that against the enemy. My dad said this, do not put the Lord your God to any test. That's all you need to do. I don't need to test the faithfulness of God. I know the faithfulness of God. Do you understand that? You don't need to test that to see if it works. He has promised, and he who has promised is faithful. Faithful. And we have faithfulness inside of us. So when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him for a more opportune time. Go figure. Just because he loses the battle, he doesn't stop. He comes back again in a more opportune time, in a more time of weakness for us. How many of you have been attacked in your Christian walk, in your marriage, in your finances, in your careers, in your family? How many of you have been attacked to the point where you just want to give it up? You need to remember this is the truth. Faithfulness resides inside of you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes out. It's not something that just one or two people get. It's the same thing for everyone who knows Christ and has him reside inside of them. Isn't that a promise that we need to take home? So let's look at this fidelity. This is the image we have. We have an image of marriage as fidelity. So I'm looking through some of the different vows, and these are the Lutheran vows that I found, and I really like it. It says, I take you to be my wife or husband, and these things I promise you. I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to you, and I will respect and honest with you. I will respect, trust, help, and care for you, and I will share my life with you. And this is a beautiful thing. I will forgive as we have been forgiven. And I will try with you to better understand ourselves, the world and God, through the best and worst of what is to come, and as long as we both shall live. I will forgive you as we have been forgiven. Always have that in your heart, because you are never more like Christ than when you forgive. And it's hard to forgive. I don't do so well at it. I like to hold a grudge or just get even. But God says, I want you to forgive because you've been forgiven much. And if we're forgiven much, we understand that the faithfulness of Christ going to the cross is the reason that we can forgive, because we've been forgiven. All of us. And maybe some of you are here this morning and you haven't accepted that promise and that gift from Jesus Christ. That's something that you need to ponder. That's something that the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life about, is that Jesus Christ faithfully went to the cross and died for your sins on your behalf. And because of that, you can be free. You can have the Holy Spirit live inside of you, and you can have all this fruit come oozing out of you that's attractive not only to you and to your family, but to everyone that you come in contact with. So let's look at a portion of Scripture that I like. I really like this portion of Scripture. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Wives, this is usually as far as we go, just so the rest we'll just move on. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And you know what, guys? That's not where it stops. First of all, you got to go back to the first sentence here. It says, submit one to another. Submit one to another. Then it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. So in other words, you need to do that to the Lord, and then you need to submit to your husband. Only when the husband does this. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, for which he is the Savior. But you don't know my husband. You don't know that he's not anywhere near that. There's no brackets here that says, this doesn't work if such and such happens. What it is you need to submit. Now, hear me loud and clear. If it's an abusive situation, I do not believe you need to stay in that relationship. Are you hearing me? Physical, sexual, spiritual, emotional abuse. You need to seek some counsel, but you do not need to stay in an abusive situation. This is not what this says, and there's a lot of people that use that scripture. Wives, you must submit. Not to brutality, not to cruelty, not to abuse. Never, never did Christ ever put two people together so that one could abuse the other. So hear me loud and clear. That is not what this is saying. Verse 24, it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Paul really picks on the wives first, doesn't he? He says, look, ladies, this is what you got to do. And then I think we should have put this first, husbands, and then go into the wives. Yeah. That sounded like a female voice to me. But I'm with you. It says, husband, love your wives. Love your wives. Love your wives. Love your wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, listen to me. Love your wife. Christ loves you. Love your wife. This is the most precious place that any person could ever have, reflecting the love of Jesus Christ for the church. Husbands, you have the most beautiful place in all of creation to reflect Jesus and his love for the church in your family. What an honor. What a challenge. To make her holy. You want to make her holy. Cleansing her by the washing with the water throughout the word. In other words, no, you don't preach to her all the time. You don't get up and read 7 or 8 chapters to her in the morning. But you start living like Christ. You start the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life. And you start loving her like Christ loved the church. You know, love for the church has got to be something that Christ struggles with sometimes, because I know he struggled with me. He still struggles with me. I have a bit of an attitude. Go figure. Anybody in here got an attitude? I mean, a bad one? You don't have to put your hands up and no nudging, okay? Yes, you do. The reality is that we have attitudes, and we have kind of stinky stuff in our lives. And you know what? Christ still loves you. I've shook my fist in God's face and say, I don't want anything to do with any of this. You can stuff it. You can stuff the ministry. You can stuff myself. You can do it. I said those words to God in anger. And he didn't go, okay, Caruso, you're just going to be a pile of ashes. I'm fed up with you. I think I sent my son to die on the cross so that you could be this belligerent and stupid and arrogant. I was mad. And he kept loving me, drove me nuts. He kept blessing me. I wouldn't even tithe. I wouldn't tithe. And he kept blessing me. That doesn't mean that you can quit tithing and he'll bless you, okay? I'm saying this is my story, okay? Because he wants to wash you, and it's through the word of God. You need to live the word. The word is Christ. You need to live the word, husbands. And to present her, Jesus did this to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. What do you do for your spouse, husbands? Do you lift them up? Do you encourage them? Are you comparing them to the waitress that just came by? Are you talking them down? Are you rude to them? Are you not interested in them? You got to admit, you know, when we get older, things aren't the same as when we're 19, 20 years old. We're just not the same person in the package. We're the same person, hopefully, that person married, but you are different. And you're not going to get younger looking. You can buy all the stuff, but I'll tell you, there's a day when the wrinkles will win. The hair will fall out and it'll grow everywhere it's not supposed to, like in your ears. And your back, maybe I shouldn't share this, but I will. I look like a bear. And then look at this. Why can't we transplant some of that? My wife loves me anyway. And I'm twice the man I used to be. This way. And she still loves me. Because it's not the outside. We're going to all grow. This is the curse. We're all going to grow one day and we're going to go to heaven. And we want to go with the fruit of the Spirit out front. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Isn't that beautiful? After all, no one ever has hated their own body, but they feed it and care for their body just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of his body. Well, you know, I understand that some people just let themselves go. Some people are depressed. Some people are discouraged, and they just give up. We're talking about when the fruit of the Spirit's inside of your life, when Jesus Christ is given the proper place in your life. You want to represent him. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to be healthy. You want to be able to go. I want to go till I'm 95 years old, preaching and sharing and moving around the world and telling people about Jesus. That's what I want to do. So I have to look after myself. But I look after myself not only for that, but for my wife. I look after. I care for myself. I wash regular. It's a good thing. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's a whole another set of dynamics, isn't there? Who's still connected? Who's still connected to their parents? You got to cut that tie and move on. It's the two of you. The two of you. And this is a profound mystery. No fooling, Paul. Like, this is absolutely a mystery. But what a reflection it says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So look at a marriage. Look at your own marriage. Does it reflect, husbands, does it reflect that you are the Christ, not deity, but are you reflecting Christ to your spouse and to your kids? Are you doing that? Because if you are, they're going to grow up rich, your kids. Your wife is going to be, she's going to be the richest person in the world because she is loved for who she is. You need to hear this, husbands, because you get, and only you, the privilege of reflecting that kind of love that Christ has for the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must also respect her husband. And there's no problem with that. If you love your wife, your wife will submit and respect you. You do not get respect because of your position or your title. You earn respect like everyone else. You do not get it because you're the husband. You do not get it because you're the dad. You do not get it because you're the boss. You do not get it because you're a police officer. You earn that just like anybody else. So here, let's finish up with a bit out of Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Christ, his faithfulness allows us to go in to the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go in the Old Testament to the Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year, and they put a rope on him. And they had, remember I showed you that they had pomegranates and bells. And so if you heard the bells ringing all the time when he was moving around, that was a good thing. If you heard kind of a crash and all the bells stopped ringing, it's because this guy didn't have his life clean. And he was dead in the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And so they had the rope on there because if somebody else went in there, they weren't consecrated so that they would die as well. There'd be a heap of them in there. It's not a good thing. So they tied a rope on this guy and they just dragged him out. I don't know how many times that happened, but I think if it happened once, it would have just changed some of the attitudes of the next guy going in for sure. We have confidence that we can walk in, that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. It was 26 to 30 feet high, kept everybody out except that high priest. And when Jesus Christ ascended or died on the cross, it ripped that. There was an earthquake, and it ripped that from the top to the bottom. Wouldn't that have been a sight to see? And you could freely go in and out. We can freely go in and out because of the faithfulness of Jesus. By a new and living way, opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, since we have the great priest over the house of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is not a temple. This is not a sanctuary. This is a place we've set apart. But we are the temple. We're mobile. We're God's app. You know that? Have you ever thought of that? You're just a mobile app. And you should have all the information, and when somebody pushes on you, you should just, boop, there you are. Salvation, happiness, joy, fruit, it should be just something that people, and we should allow people to push on our app. Because we're not stationary. The Holy Spirit's moving through his church, through each one of you gathered here today. We have a new high priest who went in with the blood once and for all. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. We need to walk in faith. I just want you to start, if you're not already, I want you to start believing that this God that we have inside of us is alive and is able to do all that you have need of. If you have need of financial problems that to be fixed, if you have sickness, if you have relational problems, if you have job problems, if you have career problems, if you're looking for something in a direction that your call of your life, you need to know that Christ lives in you and he will guide you. You have to have that assurance that faith brings, because he who is faithful, who has promised, is faithful. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Some of us struggle. Some of us struggle because we've sinned. And you know what? I kind of think that there's, this is not even theologically correct, but I think there's kind of sin that we fall into, and then there's premeditated sin. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, like the stuff you think about before you do it? You wrestle with it, and then bang, you do it. And then there's the other stuff, well, I just fell into it. I don't think that's true. I don't, but he forgives all of your sin. If you are faithful to pray and ask for forgiveness, Christ forgives all of your sin. And he takes it as far as the east is from the west. So you can't find it. There's no address where your sin's buried. And if you ask for forgiveness and you're genuine in that, and that means go and sin no more, then when you ask God, you remember when I did that? He goes, no. And he does remember everything because he's omniscient. He knows everything. But he doesn't choose to bring that forward because he's forgiven that. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to move in that forgiveness so that we know we are free and clear, that we don't have a guilty conscience, that God will use us even though we screwed up when we ask for his forgiveness. And having our bodies washed with pure water, which is the word. This is it in a nutshell. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who is faithful, he who is promised is faithful. So Christ is faithful. faithfulness to the Father, faithfulness that gives us the promise that this is not just a ritual that we do. This is not something that we hope will happen. This is the truth. God said that he would be faithful. And so he is faithful living inside of us. We can be faithful to him if we will draw from him for that strength and support. And we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in our marriages. We need to be faithful in our relationships with our kids. We need to be faithful when we work for somebody. We need to be faithful in our finances. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You need to be faithful because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And when you do that, the world says, I want that. And your tray of fruit will be empty and God will fill it up. And your tray will be empty and God will fill it up. And your tray will be empty and God will continue to fill it up. It's that simple because he lives inside of you. And he'll empower you to be who you are in him. Could I have the worship team come? We have this precious treasure in earthen vessels. All of us. Everyone in this room. Everyone is equal in Christ's eyes. Not I'm more equal than you because I'm the lead pastor here. Pastor Randy's not more equal than you because he's the worship leader. None of you are less equal in God's eyes. None of you. Please understand that. And just, I want you to respond to this invitation. And it's all about accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you're just visiting here. Or maybe you've been dealing with a lot of guilt and you don't feel that God's got any time for it. Maybe you're just shaking your fist in his face saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you. I'm fed up, but I'm coming to church because that's kind of the ritual thing I do. Like, he understands everywhere you are. So I want to pray this prayer. And I want you to pray it out. You can pray it out loud, or you can pray it in your heart to God. You're going to pray that you just ask for forgiveness for your sins. And then for some of you who have been struggling with your worth and value and purpose, we're going to ask that God would just reinstate that inside of you and show you, reflect the mirror that he sees, not the mirror that you have put up before you. So would you just bow your heads with me and say this prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much for Jesus, that he was faithful to go to the cross for us. Came down and was a human, fully God and fully human, and chose to die on a cross for our sins. And then you took that blood, Jesus, into the throne room of God. And you said, this is the payment once and for all. So Jesus, I receive that payment and that gift of salvation. I ask that you would forgive my sins. And I ask that you would become my Lord and my Savior and my best friend. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom in my life to present the fruit that would reflect you, Jesus. I accept you as my Savior. And I pray for others that are here this morning that maybe you're really struggling with your relationship, maybe with your attitude towards God or whatever it is. You're just bogged down. You're just finished. You're done. I thank you for coming this morning because God has a plan for you. So, Father, I pray for those who would be in this situation that they would just be refreshed in their spirit, and that they would see themselves as you see them, that they all have value, worth, and purpose, and that you are the forgiver of all sin, and that you do not hold that against them. But they're your kids that you've washed and cleansed by your word. And I pray that they would receive that now in the name of Jesus.